Let's pray before we start.
Yeah.
Anyhow, will you pray, please?
Lord Father, we are thankful to you for this time. May you be with us. We claim the promise of your Holy Spirit. Teach us, O Lord. In Jesus we pray. Amen.
Amen. So we're talking about finding a reliable and easy to discover predictor of church evasion. It will help leaders to identify those in greater need and to give them support they will need. Sometimes we do the wrong question. I was mentioning before, how to keep members in the church. This should not be the question, because just to be in the church is not enough for one to be in heaven. So maybe a better question will be how to attach members' hearts, their emotions to heaven. Paul speaks about that in Colossians 3, 1-3. But we do not have time to go on the Bible verses, but this was one of the foremost concerns in Jesus' preaching. Our hearts, where are they? Where are our hearts? So when members love God, their hearts are with God, they will have eternal life. They will know Jesus and they will have eternal life. And then the Bible says all things work together for those who love God. So if they love God, all things work together for them. And then church retention will be the consequence of loving God. So how can we develop that affection and help people to love my God, love more God? And surprising as it may be, Jesus points out a very interesting way to develop that affection towards God. And I will call your attention to the last part of this quote. Jesus says, "For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." And here we make the connection between stewardship and nurturing retention. Some people ask, what has stewardship to do with nurture and retention? We have all things to do with nurture and retention, because we are not in the business of bringing money to the church. Stewardship is in the business of bringing people to heaven, to God. This is our business. So we are not aiming to get their money, but to get their hearts. So we call this financial spiritual giving. It's not any giving. If you help a project, maybe this may not consider it financial spiritual giving. Maybe financial giving, but not spiritual. When we say financial spiritual giving, we are meaning tithes and offerings, giving to God, not to the church. We deliver them in the church, but we give them to God. Okay, so if we do that, our hearts will be placed on the very place where God is dwelling, okay? So to love God is the most important choice for eternal life. It also may be started, and according to Jesus, may be increased also by financial spiritual giving. That's why that's so important. When I discovered that, I thought to myself, I need to include my daughters on that. Because if they are included on financial spiritual giving, they will never leave God's ways. And I started our family plan of including our daughters on tithing and also giving regular percentage-based offerings. Because you will never see someone leaving the church while tithing. That person must first stop tithing before leaving the church. You will never see that. Financial spiritual giving is related to eternal life, Jesus says. So this is Jesus' heart retention program. It's a divine strategy to keep the heart in his kingdom, not only the body in the church. People just come in the church. This is not our goal. We are aiming for something else, more than that, just people in the church pews. Means much more than simply keeping their bodies in the church. Must be considered as an integral part of the list of Adventist personal piety practices. What are those practices? And we will see on the next slide. MacIver, an Australian, studied that, and he discovered that Sabbath school attendance, open and close the Sabbath, study Sabbath school quarterly, read and reflect on the Bible each day, and pray often during the day are all correlated practices with tithe, which means those who tithe are also, those who regularly tithe are also those who practice all those points here. They study Sabbath school quarterly, they keep the Sabbath, they read and reflect in the Bible, and they pray often during the day. That's very much interesting. So are those points related to spiritual giving by chance? Or are they all an integral part of a same system? So look what Jesus says here in the parable of the sower. He says that people are deceived and distressed by possessions. He says that also by the love of possessions and caring very much about possessions, God's word is choked. And also that person will become spiritually unfruitful. Also in John, 1 John chapter 2, 15 to 17, we see that love for spiritual things implies in loss of spiritual sight, will imply also in loss of the love of the Father. And what happens if you lose the love of the Father? Heart evasion. There will be heart evasion because you lose the love of the Father. So if you love the world and the things, this is materialism, you love the things of the world, you lose the love of the Father. So we are able to suppose, how can we discover if church members inside a specific church are losing the love of the Father? There is a way to know that. And we are further show you a suggestion. And then we will have an increased church evasion risk. So it also, Paul says in 1 Timothy, that the love of money and the desire to be rich will do what? Will draw men in destruction and perdition. This is church. This will lead to apostasy and then church evasion. It's the root of all kind of evil. But look at this, what Paul says. Paul is speaking about church evasion. He's speaking about a very important reason for apostasy. He says, for that cause, love of money and desire to be rich, some have strayed from the faith. So this is a very important issue we must as a church pay attention on. It's a church evasion risk factor, love of money and desire to be rich. So money getting versus spirituality. Ellen White says that devotion to money getting is something that deadens spirituality of the church. And more than that, removes the favor of God from her. What do you expect from a member of a church like that? With a dead spirituality, it will be, that member will also be dead. Another very interesting text, money getting, she says, I will say differently, how to recognize devotion to money getting and that spiritual dead state. How can we recognize that there is a spiritual dead state going on in a church or with a church, specific church member? Is financial unfaithfulness an evidence of spiritual death? What do you believe? What do you think? Is financial unfaithfulness an evidence of spiritual death? Look on what Ellen G. White says. She says, this text is perhaps the more important of this presentation. On this text, I was very much impressed by it. She says, that he that will withhold from God that which he has lent him, his possessions, will be unfaithful in the things of God in every respect. Which means, if we see that one church member is not being faithful on tithes and offering, not returning to God what belongs to him, you may expect an extended influence of that unfaithfulness to all other aspects of that specific member's spiritual life. But this is a thing very easy to figure out. Our church records, financial records, can show whose members are faithfully returning tithe, whose are not returning tithe. It's very easy to assess, very easy to see. And so this text shows a gradual development. First, there is devotion to money getting. Then, the spiritual debt situation. After that, all kinds of imaginable unfaithfulness. And then, apostasy. And after apostasy, what you see? Church evasion. So when we see this here, we are already able to work with some church members. So there was a very interesting research conducted by South America Division with all members who left the church on those 3 years here. An average of 86% of all that left the church on those 3 years have no tithing record. What about offerings? 91% no offering records. Those who left the church on those 3 years. That's amazing. It goes in line with what we have been studying here. So what is Jesus' heart retention strategy? Though through every investment made in God's treasury, she says, they, members, will become more wedded to the cause of present truth. The more they invest, more wedded will they be to the cause. So it's strongly related to spiritual prosperity. Ellen White says, withholding from God always brings a curse. Spiritual prosperity, and that's what we are trying to figure out here and to discover how to do it. But she says, spiritual prosperity is closely bound up with Christian liberality. If you want to see a church prospering spiritually, they must be liberal. The most spiritual prosperous churches are those who are most systematic and liberal and sustaining the cause of God. That's very interesting, that connection Ellen White makes with church growth, church spiritual growth, with liberality and financial giving. Because Jesus said that wherever our treasures are, there our heart would also be. So another text, the work of imparting of heavenly gifts, is the life and growth of the church. That's very incisive text. It's the life and growth of the church. Or if a church is not giving, this church is dead. So financial spiritual giving, we are able to say now, that is highly related to church growth and spiritual prosperity, is also expected to increase retention rates, and its absence may be considered as a predictor of apostasy. So we are trying to encourage church, local church pastors, not to look for financial records just for financial sake, but for people's sake. To with the cross on their eyes, not with their money mark on their eyes. They look to the financial records of the church and say, where are the lost here? I must be able to look for them before they leave the church. So this is a predictor of apostasy. So the nurture and retention strategy is to assess and carefully follow church spiritual financial giving patterns. If you are able to assess that, and it's very easy because the treasury may provide to us all the financial records, we may look for those members who are failing in returning their tithes. For some reason, they must be visited. They must be cared of. They must receive our prayers. They must be receive our love. But we should not just leave them and respect their liberty. They are in very danger. So looking on those records, we may be able to identify potential apostasy or church evasion risk. And then to give priority care, including visitation, to those in greater risk. There is another presentation, obviously we will not have time here to present, in which we try to suggest to church pastors how to visit with that approach without being too intrusive, respecting their freedom, but at the same time giving them the opportunity to see where is the problem and to make sound decisions before it's too late. And that's it. May the Lord bless you. Thank you so much for your attention.